40 years after leaving Egypt, the people of Israel were finally ready to enter the land God had promised them. During those 40 years, the people had entered into a covenant relationship with God. They had become a people separate from the peoples around them. Though they had many lapses, they had learned to trust in God's provision. Before they could enter the promised land, there was one piece of unfinished business which had to be completed: the commissioning of the leader who would take the people into this land. Hear now our scripture this morning from Deuteronomy 31, verses 1 to 8. Then Moses said these words to all Israel, telling them, "I'm 120 years old today. I can't move around well anymore. Plus, the Lord told me, you won't cross the Jordan River. But the Lord your God, he's the one who will cross over before you. He's the one who will destroy these nations before you so you can displace them. Joshua too will cross over before you just like the Lord indicated. The Lord will do to these enemies the same thing he did to the Amorite kings Sihon and Og, and to their land when he destroyed them. The Lord will lay them out before you, and you will do to them exactly what the command I've given you dictates. Be strong, be fearless, don't be afraid, and don't be scared of your enemies, because the Lord your God is the one who marches with you. He won't let you down, and he won't abandon you." Then Moses called Joshua, and with all Israel watching, said to him, "Be strong and fearless, because you are the one who will lead these people to the land the Lord swore to their ancestors to give to them. You are the one who will divide up the land for them. But the Lord is the one who is marching before you. He is the one who will be with you. He won't let you down. He won't abandon you. So don't be afraid or scared." Please stand for our song of meditation, number 2226, "Bind Us Together." Thank you. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? Lord, open the hearts, the ears and eyes of our hearts and minds to all that you have for us today and in the future. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you listen closely, you can hear the rushing brown ribbon of the Jordan River just outside the sanctuary walls.
The river is a dividing line. On the other side is the promised land, a land of hope, a land of the future. This side of the river is the past and the present, as well as this period of transition. And the Lord has brought us here to get you ready for the crossing. And just like the people of God who had been led by Moses, you've also come to reflect on who you are as a church and where you're going. It's been said that the people of God really didn't find their identity until the Exodus. The Jewish race began with Abram when God declared that he would bless Abram with descendants as numerous as the stars. And then through Isaac and Jacob, the tribes emerged as separate clans. And they went off to Egypt because Joseph was in charge of the grains during a famine. But then new leadership came with a new pharaoh, and he grew alarmed at the number of the Hebrews that there were, and so he enslaved them. So they were not yet recognized as a united people. They were nondescript clans who had no common identity. And then after 400 years, God called Moses to take his people out of Egypt to the promised land. And from the time they left the gates of Egypt, and for the next 40 years, those people became an identifiable nation. And Moses was the one that God had chosen to help them forge their identity. Moses had led them all that time and all the wanderings in the desert that they had, and that would soon be over. And they just couldn't wait to cross over into the promised land. We've had a long history here at First Baptist, and there have been times, I'm sure, I know, that you may have been unsure of who you were or where you were going. In recent years, you have been pushed in new directions, but not without some problems or resistance. We like to celebrate the time when the sanctuary was full and everybody was engaged and united in ministry and there were no problems at all. We know it was never really like that, but we like to think it was. The brown ribbon of river awaits just outside the sanctuary walls. On the other side is the promised land, a land of hope, a land of the future. And today we look ahead to what is coming as you wait to go across. But how do you get ready to make that crossing? There are two things to keep in mind from the scripture that Pam read to us from Deuteronomy. The first is that you must continue your current ministries because the church in the future is dependent on the kind of church you are today. You are already practicing what lies at the heart of your future. The people of God were given the law, but they also needed to continue to remain faithful because they still had work to do. And so Moses told them to be strong. And basically he was saying, don't give up any of the good things you're doing because it will help you as you move into the promised land. You here at First Baptist have been forging a new identity during this interim time. So what kind of church will you be in your promised land? That depends on what you're doing right now in ministry and the energy and excitement with which you continue to carry out the mission to which Jesus Christ has called you. These things are the things that make you strong as a church and point you to the future. Secondly, just as the people of God yearned for what was waiting for them across the Jordan, they also came to the realization that Moses would not be going with them. They were brokenhearted because Moses had been with them through all those 40 years through the desert. He had helped them to forge their new identity, and they prayed that he would be going with them, and they talked with him and encouraged him and pleaded with him. We need you to lead us there. You're all we have. And Moses even went and talked to the Lord about it. But ultimately, it was God's choice, and God said, Moses will not be going with you. Now, in no way am I equating myself with Moses, especially his age, but maybe the trouble walking. But I've been with you for 14 months to help you to do some of the things needed before your new pastor comes. If you remember, and I don't expect you to, but one of the first sermons that I preached here was based on the story of Esther, and I told you then that I truly believe that God had called me here for such a time as this. But I was not the person that God called to lead you across the Jordan. Mark Allison will lead you to your promised land. It's important to think about the expectations that you may have of Mark. What are those unspoken characteristics you're hoping for? Well, here's a description of an ideal pastor written by Steve Merrill. And I want you to listen to see if there are some of these characteristics that you are expecting. The ideal pastor is difficult to find. But if your church is fortunate, you may be able to secure his services. I'm using his because you're getting a mail. Since he is the ideal pastor, it won't cost very much because he lives by faith. Yet he can be counted on to tithe heavily and still be able to afford a large house in which he will regularly entertain the entire congregation. He loves the older folks of the church, visiting them regularly. Besides this, he spends all of his time with the young people. The glow on his face reveals his secret. He spent many hours on his knees before God. However, he is always available to anyone who drops by for a chat. What's a half hour out of his schedule since he only works on Sunday anyway? The ideal pastor loves to disciple new converts and gives full-time attention to calling on the elderly, ill, and shut-in. He has a model family, is always in the church office when you call, and is lurking in hospital corridors just looking for a soul to comfort. He would never miss a church activity and attends all denominational functions. In addition, he meets all his neighbors and wins their hearts too. He still has time, however, to listen to everyone's problems and wants to be updated on the progress of your bunions and backaches. The ideal pastor is only 29 years old and has been preaching 30 years. He preaches sermons that win the hearts of the lost and inspire the minds of the mature, yet he is so profoundly simple that even preschoolers are blessed. Teenagers take notes on his sermons. He comprehends the complexity of church finances, knows the state of the church budget, and never talks about money. He is a strong believer in holiness and church discipline, but never speaks a stern word to anyone. The ideal pastor is tall, short, lean, husky, with brown hair and blonde hair. He has a deep, resonant voice, which, because it is quietly loud, pleases everyone and is audible to the hard of hearing. He can sing, lead music, and delegates authority to everyone. Besides this, he helps each layperson and does all the things other people are too busy to do. In short, he keeps the entire church and each family running smoothly. Sounds great, doesn't it? But we know that no such person exists. No pastor will be perfect and agree with every whim of every member of the congregation. Dr. Allison will be quite ordinary, with some particular gifts for ministry and without other gifts. But remember that it is you, the congregation, who will continue doing the work of ministry. And that is what is so exciting and why the promised land looks inviting. God didn't abandon his people who were there on the verge of the Jordan, and he told them to be strong and courageous. And he said, I will not leave you or forsake you. God was still in charge there. He was just changing human leadership. Moses was the ideal leader for the Exodus and the transition from taking the people from Egypt to the Promised Land, but he would not have been a good leader to take the people across the Jordan. And instead, God called Joshua, who came at exactly the right time to lead God's people into the Promised Land. But Joshua would not have been the right person for the transition. So we are paused right here The brown ribbon of river awaits just outside sanctuary. On the far bank lies the promised land. And I know that you are getting anxious to get across and to get busy with your future. God's people were also gathered here on this side waiting to cross, and they knew that Moses wasn't going to accompany them. His work was done. The settling of Canaan would take a different kind of leader. There were things to do that would take somebody with a clear vision to move into the future. Joshua was a man of new directions. They would soon break camp and make the journey into the promised land. The people could not envision what was ahead, but the Lord told them to take courage and to be faithful. And then one day, news came rippling through the camp that caused the hairs on the back of their necks to stand up. There was a jolt of electricity that shot through the ranks, and their adrenaline was pumping. They could sit still no longer. Word came like a fire that it was time to break camp and to move out. Joshua was just over the hill and coming this way. And a cry went out across the whole territory. Joshua is coming! Joshua is coming! My job here is now done, and soon you will move into your promised land. But you must continue to prepare yourself, to gather your strength, and to firm up your commitments, because the future is bright. There were two visitors to America riding down Constitutional Avenue in Washington, D.C. in a taxi one day, and as they passed the National Archives building, one of the passengers noticed the inscription that's carved on the side of that building that says, "What is past is prologue." And the visitor asked the taxi driver, "What does that mean?" And the taxi driver said, "Oh, that's just government language. It means you ain't seen nothing yet." The brown ribbon of river awaits you just outside the sanctuary walls. It is your promised land, the land of hope, the land of your future. Dear friends, the last thing I have to say for you, to say to you is, you ain't seen nothing yet, because Joshua is coming. Joshua is coming. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the way in which you work in our lives. We thank you for your timing that is always so much better than ours. We thank you for leading just the right people at the right time. And so we give ourselves to you as we cross that Jordan in the next few weeks and begin the journey in the promised land. We thank you and praise you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn of response is number 2241, "The Spirit Sends Us Forth." Thank you. consider these words from Ephesians 3. I pray that out of God's glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that his love passes knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Our hymn of departure is going to be number 42, verse 1, God be with you till we meet again. Now I'm going to close with the benediction that I have used many times here, and it's my favorite benediction. Depart now in the fellowship of God the Father, and as you go, remember, in the goodness of God you've been brought into this world. By the grace of God you've been kept all the day long, even until this very moment. And by the love of God, fully revealed in Jesus Christ, you and I are still being redeemed. Go and live that in the world.